Welcome back again. So we have been hearing from Srila Jiva Goswami's Paramatma Sandarbha, and this is the what we have been hearing is the ontology of Maya, that is Krishna's external potency, Bahiranga Shakti. Last week we heard an introductory class that was really sort of giving you a preview of a general aspect of Maya. In fact, this particular slide that you see right now, that I'm showing from the last week's class, just to sort of refresh the fundamentals of these subdivisions of Maya. Maya has basically two divisions, Nimitta Karana, that is shown on the left side, and the right side you see the Upadana Karana, Upadana Amsha. Nimitta, that is the instrumental cause, and Upadana is the constituent cause, or the constituent part of Maya. And Nimitta Karana has further subdivisions, that's called Avidya Potency and Vidya Potency. Avidya, that is the that causes bondage in material existence, but Vidya gives you liberation. Now, of course, Maya cannot. Maya is, of course, by definition, cannot liberate. What it means here, that it's a stepping stone, as it's shown in the right side. Actually, Maya Vidya has no power. What it means, actually, it's the Maya's mode of goodness. I'm sorry. Maya's mode of goodness that promotes because sattvam sanjayati jnanam sattvam yad brahma darshanam. So that allows us it's in a kind of doorway or stepping stone to a higher vidya. It's a transcendental knowledge through internal potency, Swarupa Shakti of the Lord, which actually grants liberation. You know. Okay, the Avidya Potency, the Avidya Potency is further subdivided into two aspects. One is called Avarana Atmika. Avarana means the curtain. So it uncovers the knowledge, the true knowledge of the Jiva. And then Vikshepa Atmika, that furnishes, that provides an illusory knowledge. So the Jiva, now it's completely under illusion, you know. He forgets his constitutive position, that he is part and parcel of the Supreme, you know. And he is meant to serve the Supreme Lord. He is now completely taken over by Maya, you know. So that is the sort of subdivisions of the Nimitta Karana, or instrumental cause. Now let's look at the Upadana Amsha or Karana, which is basically three modes of material nature, three gunam. And there we see these three parts. Prakriti, that is a primordial nature. So the Paramatma, which really modifies, is this primordial. Paramatma is the fundamental primordial nature of the material nature that modifies. There is primordial nature is actually pradhana, where the three modes of material nature are completely under equilibrium. So they are in a dormant stage and they don't manifest yet. There is avyakta, you know. So these are the three subdivisions. I know why I skip going. Whereas here you see Nimitta Karana, the three dimensional view is this jnana, icha and kriya. Jnana, we just saw that here the Jiva's jnana is really the knowledge of the sense objects, because they have this material desires, and Maya completely puts him under illusion. So his jnana is restricted to basically all the six sense objects, how he is going to pursue that, you know. And that's how he has his Icha, material desires, to conquer that, you know. and then he actually executes kriya. He executes by engaging his senses and so on, like that, you know. So in the next PowerPoint, we also saw how this sets into motion. As the left uppermost corner that you see is the kala. The time potency of Paramatma is the really the one which triggers the sets of their cascades of reaction. See, Mahavishnu, through his glance from distant in the primordial nature, so glance composed of his time potency and the jivas that he's going to inject, or he's going to impregnate the womb of material nature with the living entities. And within that living entities, they still don't have this subtle or gross bodies yet. And their karmas that has been stored, it's still in dormant stage. So this time potency that activates the three modes of material nature of pradhana, and that further modifies and becomes various tattvas or elements, beginning with mahat tattva and so on like that. And the karma, that is the real unfolding that precipitates, that sets actually, because that is the cause. That is the nimitta karana, is this karma of the living entity that he is going to, he's come into existence, material existence. So karma is the either the good deeds and the bad deeds, both, you know, meritorious or unmeritorious deeds. Now that karma, as you can see below this karma, as you see the blue arrow going from top to bottom, that's the set of motions, you know. So kala, it triggers all this thing, all right? The kala is a potency of Paramatma that activates this karma, the dormant karmas, still in the subtle state now. Before it didn't have any subtle state because they're completely dormant. Now time is the one activates, and the karma is the nimitta karana of the maya potency. Now that's next what happens. That is going to be destiny. Yeah, the good karma he is going to enjoy, and bad karma he is going to suffer. So that's an outcome of that actions. That's the destiny. And according to that particular destiny, he is going to develop a particular propensity, a particular svabhava, a particular nature, how he's going to be inclined in satisfying those things, you know. So that's the unmanifest state of his daiva, you know. So these four elements, these are the subtle body of the living entity, and that is what the nimitta karana of the maya, you know. Now, once that the subtle body is formed, then it's going to develop into gross body. So beginning with dravya, dravya is the subtle and causal elements, matter. That's going to be provided by the, and this comes from the upadana cause. Both subtle body and gross body is comes from this upadana cause or constituent part of prakriti that is shown in the right hand side. The dravya also further goes into develop into kshetra that we saw earlier. That's the presentation field, his material body and the surrounding material world, you know. And then the prana, or the living force, vital force, that's going to be introduced in that. And the Atma, which is the empirical self, which previously is unbound, now it's going to be bound by the three modes of material nature, and the Atma is going to become a Jiva now, you know. And then this gross body is further going to take place by modification of this Prakriti. There are 16 kinds of vikaras or transformations, you know. The five senses, the five knowledge gathering senses, five working senses, 10 senses, the mind 11, and the five sense objects. All these things are going to give a gross body. So both gross body and the subtle body is going to be provided by the upadana cause or a constituent part of prakriti. And of course we saw that the subtle body is the instrument cause or nimitta karana of prakriti. So that way upadana cause and nimitta cause of maya, they are both interacted. how nimitta karana interacts with upadana is shown in the extreme right hand side through this avidya potency of maya that is the going to give the ahankara or the aham bhav, you know, the false ego that becomes the cause of this upadana, that is the cause to get this material body, you know. And we already saw that the presiding deity of ahankara is Rudra, you know. So jiva or the conditioned self includes both nimitta and upadana as is delimiting by both gross and subtle bodies, upadhis, you know, where kala or the time influences both subtle and gross bodies of the jiva. So that is the fundamentals that you must remember in order to understand all the subsequent classes or subsequent lessons that we are going to go through in the next few weeks, actually. So I want you to remember that, you know. All right. Now let's go further. So today, we are going to go to the next lessons 11 and 12, as you see in this PowerPoint. The whole lessons 11 through 17, I'm sorry, excuse me. Lessons 11 through 17, text 56 to 81, that is all about how Paramatma is going to modify the primordial nature pradhana. Basically, all this we went through that. That is the modification of the Paramatma or the material nature, especially the primordial material nature, pradhana, and how it modifies. So as a result of this modification, this material world came into existence or manifest. So today's lesson that you see in text 56 to 60 is again going to be preview, you know, and the two theories that we are going to see how Jiva Goswami is going to analyze. As a result of this modification, that is the Vaishnava philosophy, Parinama. Parinama means as a result. As a result of what? As a result of the modification of this primordial material nature, Pradhana, by Paramatma. That is how Vaishnava philosophy states this material world came into existence. But the Advaitavada, the extreme Advaitavada, radical Advaitavada or Mayavadi notion is that this material world is not a reality. It's the illusory perception. So that illusory perception in Sanskrit is called Vivarta, you know, Vivartavada philosophy. So these are the two fundamental schools of thought, how this material world came into existence. Vaishnava notion is that this material world is a reality, not an illusory perception. According to the Mayavadi philosophy, they think that Brahman is the reality, whereas material world is really an illusion, you know. And that Jiva Goswami is going to refute that. And that is what we are going to see in this preview class, preview lessons, these two lessons, how he is going to first define the Vaishnava Parinamvada philosophy. And how he is also going to this summarizing what is the school of thought by Mayavadis, this Vivratavada. Vivrata means illusory perception. In fact, they love to give this particular analogy, as you heard many times, that in a semi-darkness, a rope dangling on a branch of a tree. A living entity, when he sees that in a semi-darkness, the dangling rope gives an illusion of snake, and he is frightened by that. He wants to run away from that. So that is what Mayavadi says, that this material world is really is a material illusory perception of the true Brahman. Brahman is the reality. So this snake that you see, it's not a reality, of course. Reality is this rope. But the living entity sees that a rope in a semi-darkness. Semi-darkness is the ignorance, is avidya. Because it's avidya, he perceives the snake. So snake is the vivrata, or an illusory perception of the reality that is Brahman, here represented, the rope. You know, the analogy is the rope. So that is the Mayavadi philosophy. So when it's pointed out to them that this, what they say, this material world is a reality, but we actually feel the presence of material world all around us. We actually experience. So how do they answer to that? So what they are saying is that this particular illusion perception we are seeing is just an empirical perception, not an ontological perception. What they are saying, this because the rope gives the feeling of fear. You know, people are actually fearing when they see this dangling rope, and they perceive as a snake, and they run away from that. So that itself, what they are saying, is the empirical, not an ontological. So Brahman is the reality. So how Srila Jiva Goswami is going to refute in this introductory two lessons, that is what we are going to hear. And then he's going to go deeper into that. He's going to expand. So today we are going to see some key verses which refutes key verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, he quotes many, many different verses, not only from Srimad Bhagavatam, but other sources also. But I'm just giving an example, just a representative example, just a few verses, you know, which directly gives this proof, you know, how is he going to refute the Mayavadi notions. So this is an overview what we are going to hear in today, okay? First, the definition, explanation of what is Parinamavada philosophy and what is a Vivratavada philosophy. Vivratavada philosophy is this illusory Maya philosophy of the Mayavadis, whereas the Parinamavada philosophy is the Vaishnava philosophy. They think that this, they are saying this material world is a reality, you know, although it is temporary. It's not permanent, you know. That's all what they're saying that. Okay. So with that brief introduction, let's proceed and see how Jiva Goswami goes about it. What is his approach? Okay. So here it is. So Jiva Goswami, so what I've just given you a brief preview of it, that's exactly what is there in this particular slide, okay? Next couple of slides. So Jiva Goswami strongly refutes the theory of Mayavadi that the cosmos is a mere illusory manifestation, the Vivratavada, but Vaishnava philosophy is that it's the result of this modification of Pradhana, Parinama, Parinama as a result of this modification, you know, of this Maya potency, the Pradhana, you know, of Paramatma, done by Paramatma, you know, Parinamvada. And that's how this cosmic manifestation come into existence. All right? So we are all going to hear in the next several lessons is about how material world came into existence. Is it by the modification of this primordial nature, or it's just an illusion? That's what we are going to hear about that. So on the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami clearly establishes that the cosmos, the cosmic manifestation, this material world is really an effect of the real potency of Paramatma. Now, of course, we say illusory potency Maya, right? But potency is not illusory. Its effect is illusion. It causes illusion on the jiva, that we just saw, that avarana shakti and vikshepta atmika, you know. So so how is it real potency in the sense? So Maya is of course inert, you know, but it has Maya has a predominating deity, and that is Durga Devi. So she has, so Maya has both the inert nature as well as the conscious, because the predominant deity. Basically, Maya is inert. Maya itself is inert, you know, and its effect, the illusory effect, is indeed it's real. Okay, so I want to make for you to digest that fundamentals very, very clearly in your consciousness. All right, and let's say what is Vivratavada says. So that is the Parinamvada philosophy in a nutshell. So in a nutshell, what is Vivratavada? I already told you, but let's read again to reinforce on your mental plane. Okay, it is Brahman who appears as the cosmos, as the material world, through the agency of Maya, just as a rope appears as a snake in semi-darkness. All right? Just a snake is not a reality. You know, so they are saying material world is not a reality. Is Brahman is the reality, you know. So it is a misconception or misperception, you know. Therefore, cosmos or material world is not a reality. But we do feel, right, the reality of the cosmic world, you know. So how are they responding? So then they postulate that the cosmic world is like a rope mistaken for a snake. Despite the illusory perception, it can still elicit fear in the mind of the beholder. So that tells you that, you know. So therefore, it is only an empirical reality of the world. What is empirical? This what we see and feel around the material world. So that snake, it seems to give a real feeling, but real feeling because it gives that fear, and you feel like that, you know. It's like a dream state, right? In a dream state, what happens in a dream? In a dream, you know, suddenly you see your head is chopped off, you know. Now, of course, you cannot see your head, your own head being chopped off and yet still being able to see. But in a dream state, that looks like a reality. So that's what they are saying that. So it's like a sort of material world is like a dream state. It feels like a reality, but it's still, after all, it's a dream. Now, how is Jiva Goswami is going to refute that? That's really the interesting part. And that is what really I would like you to see that. And I hope I'm able to actually draw and make you understand that. And that's the real, the beauty part of it. And it's not, today is just a preview, all right? Please understand very clearly. Jiva Goswami is going to go much, much deeper and really going to go point by point. Even this dream explanation, dream state explanation of Mayavadi, he is going to go much, much deeper in that. And he is going to go through all the analogies that the Mayavadis present to substantiate their school of thought. And Jiva Goswami is going to refute one by one their own analogies. Okay, that's what we are going to see now. All right, Hare Krishna. So in this slide, so Parinamvada philosophy or a Vaishnava philosophy, Srila Jiva Goswami reasons that the cosmic world is not unreal. Now it's a double negative, right? Double negative, what it means? It nullifies. So when it's not unreal, means it is real. That's what it means. But sometimes, so normally we should not use, it's a, you know, here in United States, it's very, very common. People say this double negatives, they use that, you know. So that's not a very scientific way of saying things. But sometimes a deliberate statement, double negative statement, is really meant to emphasize the refusal of somebody else's statement. So Mayavadi says this material world is not real. In fact, what they're saying is unreal. So that's why Srila Jiva Goswami says, no, it's not unreal. So it's double negative, but just to emphatically refuse, emphatically defeat the statement of Mayavadis. So in what it means actually, that it is indeed real, but it is temporary. So it's real, but undergoes cyclic manifestation and demanifestation, means unmanifestation, in the form of creation and dissolution. Even in the state of disillusion, the cosmic world still exists in the unmanifest form within Paramatma, and that is Mahavishnu's body. So that does exist. If it is just an illusion, that cannot be like that, you know. But then how to account for the immutability of Paramatma? Immutability means doesn't change, you know. What change is taking place in the material world, modification of this primordial material nature, pradhana, that is undergoing, Paramatma is causing that. But Paramatma himself remains unchanged. That is what Shri Jiva Goswami is saying that. So he is not only as the instrumental cause of the cosmos, Nimitta cause that we just saw, because Paramatma is the one, his time potence is the one which activates the three modes of material nature, and the Jiva's stored karmas, which is still in the dormant form, that is going to trigger, or that becomes the instrumental cause of this serious modification that Paramatma causes in the material world, actually, all right? In fact, in the Prakriti, and that's how material world comes into existence. So it is, and then also its constituent cause, Upadana. Upadana, what it does, what means constituent means a part. It provides both subtle and gross bodies to that Jivas, you know. So Jiva, before that, in a primordial nature, when Paramatma injects the Jivas, at that time Jiva does not have either the material, either the gross body or the subtle body. Okay, that we just saw that. Is the cascade of reaction, the cascade of this modification is taking place due to this time potency and due to this activation of the karmas. That's how he's going to proceed that. So all the series of this modification taking place, that is itself is this Parinamvada philosophy. So Jiva Goswami, how he's going to refute? So his resolution is this. The part that undergoes modification, Maya, is extrinsic to Paramatma's essential nature. What is Paramatma's essential nature? Is Swarupa Shakti, Swarupa Lakshana. Whereas Maya is external. So Jiva, he is trying to explain here how Paramatma remains, even though he modifies the material nature, but he himself is unaffected by that. Unlike what the Mayavadis say that. Mayavadis said the Brahman itself undergoes modification. Brahman comes under the influence, impelled by the avidya potency of Maya, and that Brahman becomes the Jiva and the material world. That's what they are saying that. But here, Vaishnava philosophy is that Paramatma Paramatma remains unchanged, unaffected. Why? Even though Paramatma does all these things, modifies, but Paramatma is not in direct touch with the material world, Prakriti. Even though material world, the Paramatma actually enters in it, but his time potency actually enters, you know. So Maya is extrinsic to Paramatma's essential nature. And then I'll give you one example, because people have very difficulty how to explain the external potency, external energy of someone, you know. Because energy is a part and parcel of one's own being. Right? How can one explain that something external and still that has potency or has energy? You know, how do you explain that? So it's like that. If you have a prime minister or president of a country, and his staff, you know, like foreign minister goes in abroad, he does represents the philosophy or the particular policy of the prime minister or president of his country, right? So that way, so prime minister is really a president, prime minister's ambassador or foreign minister to other country is really his external potency of the head of the state. So I'm just giving you a crude example to show you how one can explain the potency that is still beyond the individual of that person. So an ambassador or foreign minister presents something and they call something that the prime minister president is not affected directly. He remains as he is, you know. So Maya is not different. is non-different from him in that regard, and yet it is separate. So this is what the typical, the Achintya Bheda Abheda doctrine of the Vaishnava philosophy, especially Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. All right? I hope everybody is with me now. I'm going trying to be as slow as possible, and I'm deliberately repeating myself the key elements, the difference between Parinamvada philosophy and Vivratavada philosophy, and you begin to see how Jiva Goswami is beginning to refute he's pointing out, he's putting holes in the Mayavadi philosophy. Right? Okay. So let's go through. So now he's going to quote some verses, okay? And he, like I said, he quotes many verses. I'm just giving, because of the time availability, I'm just giving you some key verses as representation of the evidence. So here is a verse that is actually spoken by Lord Kapila Deva to Mother Devahuti. He's explaining how the cosmic manifestation come into existence. So we'll read this Sanskrit verse. So tatstena anuvidebhyo, tatstena anuvidebhyo, yuktebhyo andam achetanam, yuktebhyo andam achetanam, uttitam purusho yasmat, uttitam purusho yasmat, uddhistisht uddhista uddhistad asau virata, etad andam vishek vishesh akhyam, etad andam vishesh akhyam, क्रमविद्येर्दशोत्तर त्रयिहि तोय आदिभिः परिवृतम् प्रधानेन प्रधानेन बाय द मटेरियल नेचर अनव प्रधानेन अवृतेर बहिः चित्रलोक वितनो अयम् रूपं भगवतो हरेः. सो लेट्स रीड द ट्रांसलेशन. Sorry. So the translation. So tatstena, by that, thereafter, from this mahat tattva and so on, all this from pradhana, when it's activated, three modes of material nature activates, it becomes mahat tattva, then false ego develops. False ego develops, expressed in three modes of material nature, ignorance, passion, and so on like that. Then these 10 senses are created, mind is created, and so on like that. All these elements. So which were impelled, which were precipitated and united by the presence of Paramatma. So until Paramatma himself enters through his time potency, all these things remain unconnected. It's like a watch. You know, in olden times, you know, wristwatches used to have this the spring, you know, so you with the key you wind it, and that sets in motion, right? In modern times, all wristwatches now they are battery operated. So unless the battery is there, everything is there still, but the watch is not going on, right? It's turned on. Only when the battery is there, battery power is there, then it goes. So here's the same thing. All the elements are there, but they are not set in motion. They are not activated unless and until Paramatma really himself enters in it, you know. So appeared in inert egg, this andam achetanam. So achetanam, so that time this under, this brahmanda is really kind of inert. But through his, when he puts living entities along with his karmas, dormant karmas, he puts there, you know. And all the different planetary systems and everything is still in a kind of dormant stage, you know. So that's andam is called vishesha, is surrounded by these layers of these five gross elements, you know, in succeeding layers actually, water, air, fire, air, ether, then mahat tattva, and finally is pradhana. One by one, each succeeding layer is 10 times larger or bigger than the previous one, you know. So actually, it's not just of this universe. So first layer is of Earth, of course, you know. But it's but all these layers are actually is the aggregate of all the universes. So when you try to find a water outside, let's say, Earth planet or this Milky Galaxy, no, that's not what he's saying. All the universes are combined. All the universes are put this in one, this big Brahmanda, big egg-shaped universe, different aggregate of all the universes. And that is really surrounded by these layers and layers of these elements, you know, five gross elements. All right? So within this egg is found the expansion of various planetary systems. And what is the form of Bhagavan, Sri Hari himself? That is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So Srila Jiva Goswami is saying the ancient egg under was generated from this Mahat Tattva and other elements, as I just summarized to you, which were precipitated, which were impelled, Anuvidebhyo. So which is generated means Uttitam. You know, these were the impelled or set into motion, Anuvidebhyo, by Paramatma himself. And from that egg appeared this cosmic form, this cosmic personality, it's called Virata Rupa or Virata Purusha. And he represents the gross and subtle forms, you know. He represents the all the aggregates of the living entities and also all the different planetary systems and so on like that. So he is the gross form, Virata Rupa, Virata Purusha, and the subtle form is called Hiranyagarbha, this Andam, you know. Alright, so in these two verses, Kapil Dev gives the broad overview of how this cosmic world comes to existence. The notable points are here, that only through the entry of Paramatma, all this sets in the motion. Okay. So this universe is manifested by Paramatma from this Pradhana, by this modification. So as a result of this modification, this material world came into existence from this primordial material nature. And that is what is called Parinamvada philosophy. All right, Parinamvada explanation. So until Paramatma personally entered within them, all the various tattvas that formed remain unconnected. So again, you might say that how Paramatma remains unchanged, you know. Remember, I told you that what Jiva Goswami is saying, that he remains always unattached. Even though he is there, right within the material world, even right along side by side with the Jiva in his heart, still Paramatma is unaffected. Because he is, a nice analogy is given in an Upanishad, that there are two birds, both sitting on a branch of a tree. One bird is enjoying the fruit of that tree, but the other bird is simply witnessing. He is not doing anything, he is simply witnessing. So that is Paramatma, you know. So that way he remains unaffected, unattached, unchanged. So until Paramatma personally entered within them, all the various tattvas that form remains unconnected until it's united in the shape of this inert egg, this cosmic personality, Virat Rupa, Virat Purusha. So Virat Purusha is indeed a form of the Lord, okay? And yet it is not the Lord himself. It's the material manifestation of the Lord. So Vaishnavas do not worship Virat Rupa as the representation of the Supreme Lord, okay? It is meant for those who are not advanced enough to be able to grasp the Supreme Personality. So for them to see this great grandeur of this material world, and they think there must be somebody who must be regulating that. So that is the first level of realization of the Supreme, you know. And that's why Sukadeva Goswami actually explains a first level of self-realization. So it is meant for that. But But the devotees do not worship Virata Rupa because it is the form of the Lord, but not the Lord himself. It is the material manifestation of the Lord. Again, I told you that the Virata Rupa is an aggregate of all the living entities and is also the blueprint of all the planetary systems. Later on, Brahma, when he creates the Lord, Garbhodaksha Vishnu, from whom Brahmaji comes, and Brahmaji uses this blueprint to do his secondary creations. You know, he creates the bodily forms of 8.4 million species of life and all the different planetary systems. You know, but the blueprint comes right from this Virata Rupa, and that is the material manifestation of Paramatma. Okay, please keep that in mind. So Vaishnavas, devotees, do not worship Virata Rupa. In fact, many times Prabhupada says that it's a kalpik, you know. It's an imagination. It's not imagined in this sense, all right? Imagined in the sense that is not the Lord himself. But it's a reality of this material world and how Paramatma, the form, takes place in that reality, okay? So that way you must understand that. So Virata Rupa is the gross form of Hiranyagarbha. If I were to give a quiz, I would have asked you that. You know? Okay, but like it's truly that I'm still debating because a majority of you still do not want any kind of quiz, you know, exception with just very few devotees. And the notable example is, of course, Sharad Prabhu, you know. Really, I admire his tremendous interest, you know. Remember, he is coming from Bangladesh, and yet he really makes real effort and sends me every week. He's a lone person of everyone who solves these quizzes. And some of others, they express desire, but I have not seen in terms of it, their actual deeds, you know. They do have a desire, and I'm sure they might be trying, and they may have some genuine difficulties. So at least they have a desire. So that's, I admire that, okay. But vast majority of all of you do not seem to care for that. So I'm not sure, you know. So the egg-shaped universe is surrounded by these layers. Each layer is 10 times bigger than the previous one. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, pradhana, and then mahatattva, and then finally pradhana. So now Jiva Goswami is explaining the universe itself. Although sometimes, so far he explained how the material universe came into existence, all right, by Paramatma and its time potency, and how he activates the karmas, the dormant karmas of the living entity, which is the instrumental cause of the Maya, actually, you know. And then the subtle body and gross body, all the series of steps that are provided by the upadana or constituent cause of Maya. So he explains the universe itself, although sometimes referred to as the form of Bhagavan, but he's not a Bhagavan. Rather, it is the material nature. It is of material nature. So material manifestation of the Paramatma is Virata Rupa. All right? I hope everybody is with me now. Okay, so that was text 56. So now text 57. So now this material universe is indeed material nature, is material world, you know. That's what is coming into this particular verse. Amuni Bhagavat Rupe, Mayate Hi Anuvarnite. This verse actually spoken. Yeah, you know, it's in the second canto, 10th chapter, text 35. Ube means, when you say ube, Sanskrit ube means two, you know. So these two forms, this Virata Rupa is actually composed of two forms. Ube api na gruhanti, maya srushte vipaschita. So it's created by maya srushte vipaschita. So Sukadeva Goswami is saying these two forms of Bhagavan, you know, which I have described to you, are a creation of Maya. So the wise, Vipaschita, accept neither of them as suitable for worship. The reason I just explained to you. that it is the material manifestation of Paramatma, this Virat Rupa, Virat Purusha, is form of Bhagavan, but not Bhagavan himself, all right? And it's created by this Maya. Amuni means the two, and that's why I say Ube, you know, the individual and collective bodies. So Virat Rupa is an aggregate of all the living entities and collective bodies, gross and subtle, synonymous with Virat Purusha and Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is this great Brahmanda under this egg-shaped universe, which constitute the universe, and that is superimposed onto Bhagavan as Virat Rupa. However, this description is meant for the neophytes, those who are not yet ready to accept the personal form of the Supreme, all right? So when they see this great grandeur, this material world, you know, in the latest news that came into in the television and everywhere, that the scientists have just detected. This is just the just yesterday's great news came about. The scientists just published a paper in the journal, scientific journal. It's a topmost journal actually, called Nature. So there they were published these findings. They found a star, which is astronomically, it's really very, very near, very close in astronomical terms. It's just only 39 light years away from our Earth, you know. And that star, although it is just 1/10 its luminosity of our Sun, you know. And that has several planets which orbiting around that star, although very, very close, but because it's only 1/10 the luminosity, this star, even though there are these planets, few groups of planets, six planets, out of them, three are in a vicinity, what they call, which would support, which could possibly support life, you know, because it would support the existence of oceans, water, and water is a basic necessity for the living entities to come, to have there, you know. So that's what they're saying, that, you know, why am I pointing out this thing? Because when you hear that, you know, it just sounds really great, you know. And the distant, you know, some galaxies are thousands and thousands or millions of light years away, you know. And all this great, great forms of galaxy and everything, that really fascinates, you know. So a lot of this neophyte, this world, you know, they really get excited about that. So that is what, so this meant for that, for this kind of thing, you know. But wise, nonetheless, do not worship Virat Rupa, Virat Purusha, because it is really, basically, it is material nature. The world is of material world, it's a material world, you know. All right. Okay, so that was text 57. So now we already saw the basic aspects of Parinamvada philosophy, right? The fundamentals of Parinamvada philosophy, that is the Vaishnava philosophy. Okay, so world is a parinama, or as a result of this modification by this Paramatma's external potency, Maya. You know, so now Jiva Goswami is going to go a little bit deeper, okay? Yet it is a preview, what is yet to come in subsequent text, and we will talk about in subsequent lessons, all right? So text 58 has four subsections, 58.1, 58.2, 58.3, and 58.4, right? So the first point that he's making is this Paramatma, his power is really transrational. What is transrational? That means it is beyond the human logic, beyond human reasoning. So that is the first thing you must understand, that what is transrational. So that is the power of Paramatma. You cannot really apply our human logic, human understanding, that even Paramatma is part of that, and yet he remains untouched. You know, so that is, so you cannot understand by that way, you know. So that is the first thing Jiva Goswami is pointing out, that we must understand that it's a transrational power of Paramatma. So Jiva Goswami here establishes that empirical world is not really an imaginary form, what Mayavadis want us to believe. It's not vivarata. Vivarata means an illusory perception of Brahman. Material world is an illusory perception of Brahman, as proposed by Mayavadi school. But it is indeed real creation of Paramatma produced by his external potency Maya. Okay? And yet, the absolute can inconceivably remain free of any modification of himself. Paramatma remains totally unchanged. Even though he causes the modification by his Maya potency. So his internal Swarupa, Lakshana, Swarupa, internal characteristics remains unchanged. So this is beyond human understanding, human comprehension, by his reasoning, by his rational. So that's why it's called transrational. So here the word Maya does not mean ignorance. Because remember the Maya Srishti, Maya creates the thing. Maya is Paramatma's Shakti. And Maya creates this material world. Material nature creates the world. So how is it possible? Maya is, of course, one knows that it's an avidya, right? But Maya here does not mean ignorance. Because ignorance cannot create something. When something, someone creates something, it cannot be ignorant. That's the point Jiva Goswami is pointing out here, you know. So that's the first point Jiva Goswami is making in this text 58. The second point, that world is real transformation of this primordial material nature called Pradhana, where the three modes of material nature are still in equilibrium, in dormant stage. So Maya is external energy, is inert, but has a conscious aspect. But I explained just a little while ago that Maya is inert herself, inert by itself, Maya material nature, but it has a living entity who is the presiding deity, Durga Devi. You know? So it is not imaginary, but because it is the real potency of the Lord, you know. So here is the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Again, this is a verse Krishna himself speaks to Uddhava from Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, chapter 24, text 19. Praktutir Praktutir tas yasya Praktutir yasya upadanam adhara. Prakrutir yasad, of whom this material nature, whose adhara, this upadana cause, this Krishna cause, whose adhara, whose foundation is what? It is Purusha Paraha, this Paramatma, you know. Sato abhivyanjaka, sato abhivyanjaka, kalo brahma, tat triyam. Three means three. Triyam tva aham. He said, I am that, you know. So, so here the translation, Prakriti is the constituent cause, upadana, of this reality. The universe, material world, is the result of that. So it's the upadana, is the upadana cause, which is the constituent part and parcel of that, you know. The Supreme Person, Purusha Para, is its substratum, it's its foundation, adhara, Sanskrit word. And time, Paramatma's time potency is the manifester or abhivyanjaka. However, here what Krishna says, I am Brahman, which comprehends these three. You know. So very clearly, it's a self-explanatory verse actually. You know. So Srila Jiva Goswami actually explains for us, make it a little bit easier. Therefore, the constituting or the phenomenal cause which provides subtle body and gross body, upadana of the universe, is sometimes called Brahman and sometimes called Pradhana. Remember, when you say Brahmana, it is used not only for living entities, also it can be used for living entities' body, also it can be used this for material nature, So this modifiable potency, Paramatma Shakti, that is called Maya, is also being twofold. We saw that in text, in lesson 10, which I gave you the review portion right in the very first couple slides, right? The instrumental part, Nimitta cause, known as Maya, and the phenomenal part called Upadana, that is known as Pradhana. Upadana is, of course, the primordial material nature, the three modes of material nature which are in the dormant stage, at Pradhana. So this distinction between the two, the Nimitta cause and Upadana cause, is that the one that consists of the potency alone is instrumental, whereas the composed of its emanation are phenomenal, and that is Upadana. Therefore, it is also said in the Upanishads that some portion of Maya is devoid of consciousness, What is the conscious part of Maya? Is it's the presiding deity is Durga Devi, that is the conscious part in that regard. So Paramatma is the Maya is his external potency, and only when Paramatma enters in it through his time potency, and of course the karmas of the living, and the living entity himself is injecting, that is the real the conscious part of that, So that Pradhana undergoes modification. Paramatma, I'm sorry, yes, Paramatma is also clearly evident in this another verse 11:24:19. So Paramatma is the one which sets in motion all this thing we just saw earlier also. So now, what is the Mayavadi notion? I already gave you the overview of it, right? So now we'll go just step by step. So the universe, so Paramatma is saying, I'm sorry, Mayavadi is what are they saying? This universe is actually an illusory perception of Brahman, which is the real reality, which is the reality. And material world is just an illusion. Or illusion is superimposition which projects on Brahman, which is the only reality. And the pure self or Atma, Brahman, is different from the Jiva, or in the empirical self, which is bound by the laws of karma, Universe has no reality of its own, and it is a product of Maya. So what they're saying, Brahman comes under the spell of Maya's avidya potency, and that's how that Brahman itself becomes Jivas and this material world. So that is just as an upadhi upon Brahman because of his close proximity of this Maya. So world ajnana or ignorance is synonymous with Maya, what they are using that. So Brahman manifests in different ways by the influence of different upadhis or delimitations. I explained to you many times what is upadhi. It's because of the close proximity, just like that analogy. I keep repeating that analogy so that it becomes clearer and clearer every time you hear repeatedly, a crystal, colorless crystal, when you keep a red rose near it, so through that prism, when you see that, the prism itself looks reddish, right? But the prism is not really reddish, it's just an illusion because of the prism is very, very in close proximity to that red rose flower. Same way that this Brahman is devoid of all this character, but because it's in close proximity of this Maya, Then this material world comes into existence, and Brahman comes directly under the influence of Maya's avidya potency, and that's how that Brahman is the material world it becomes. So that's just a perception, you know. So the rope or snake analogy that they like to give, it's a two phenomenal transformations. In the avidya or ignorance presentation, forming the illusory objective snake phenomena. So the dangling rope in a semi-darkness condition, so this is under ignorance, of Jiva's ignorance. So then he sees this dangling rope as a snake, you know. But snake is not a reality. Snake is just an illusion, you know. But in the mind, the Brahman underlying this rope remains the same. But the ignorance of the mind undergoes modification on account of this defect. A defect because of this upadhi. The appearance of an illusory snake in the rope or superimposition. So this is vivrata or illusion from the viewpoint of this avidya. That's what they are saying. Okay. Now let's see how Jiva Goswami is going to refute that. So Jiva's resolution. Now Jiva Goswami is going to use the same analogy of the Mayavadis, but he is going to explain he's going to provide different explanation, and he's going to also point out the several holes in the Mayavadi interpretation. So the reason universe is described as vivarta or illusion of Brahman is to create the sense of detachment in the minds of those practicing jnana. That's what he's saying, Srila Jiva Goswami. As renunciation is the very basis for the path of knowledge, because jnanis, their motive, their purpose is to become detached from this material world. Because that is what's going to keep us tightly anchored on the ground of material existence. So jnanis, because of their knowledge, they are saying that this material world is just illusion. You know, so you don't become unnecessarily attached to something that is really not a reality. So what Jiva Goswami is saying, that explanation basically is given for the jnanis actually. Such a description, however, do not intend to say that the universe is illusory or imaginary. Rather, their purpose is to show that the universe factually exists as modification of pradhana. It is being a vivarta here means that it is an appearance or manifestation of Paramatma's energy and not a mere appearance of the Advaitavada sense. The illusion is the superimposition of the I and mind in regard to the universe. So this is that now Jiva Goswami is pointing out a very interesting thing here actually. This I and mind kind of ahankara, that what we just saw before, aham tattva, you know. So there is this superimposition of that in regard to the universe as a whole or in the individual body onto this Paramatma or the individual self, what they're saying there. So third point, the superimposition is illusory, but not the objects. Now this is a very interesting point. Actually, please pay close attention here. You know. Listen very carefully here. Only an object that exists elsewhere can be superimposed onto something else. So Mayavadi is saying that this snake illusion is superimposed on the reality of the rope. Rope is real, but rope is now perceived as snake because the snake is superimposed on that something on that. But they are saying snake is just an illusion. So Jiva Goswami is pointing the first hole right in that understanding, that how something that is not a reality gets superimposed on something else. The superimposition must be done something that is real. Just like I give you that example, that prism, colorless prism, you keep a rose, red rose, and that's how prism looks reddish, right? But rose is a reality there. And here they are explaining this analogy, snake. The snake is not a reality here. And yet, snake is superimposing upon the reality of this rope, you know. So that is the whole is pointing out by Jiva Goswami in that Mayavadi's explanation. So I hope you understood that point, okay? So let's go go step by step. So because the universe is generated by Paramatma and there's not directly he himself, and because it consists of his external potency, Maya, it does not directly relate to him. So here the second point is pointing out, because Mayavadi said the Brahman itself comes under the spell of Maya's avidya potency. And Jiva Goswami is pointing out that Paramatma, Brahman here, Paramatma remains unaffected, cannot be affected by it. And that is what they don't understand, that because their mindset is in the worldly logic, human logic. And right from there, Jiva Goswami actually right at the beginning, outset, is pointed out, because Paramatma is a transrational. You cannot apply human logic, your human reason, residue on that, because Paramatma is achintya potency, achintya bheda abheda potency. Now, okay, you understood that second point. Now, although the universe is grounded, foundation, adhara, in the pure Paramatma, he has no direct contact with it. That is what most worldly minded people, they have difficulty in understanding that kind of line of thinking, you know. So this is the verse actually. Let me highlight that verse. Here, Atma prignanamayo vivado hi asti iti na asti iti bhidartha anishtah bhidartha nishtah vyartho api naiva uparamet pumsam matah paravritta dhiyam svalokat atma parignanamayo. So the speculative arguments of philosophers are based upon incomplete knowledge of the Supreme Self. So that is what this verse is saying. And this again, Krishna himself is speaking now to Uddhava, the Supreme Authority. Alright? So he says this kind of, why this kind of Mayavadi philosophers think that way, you know. He's pointing out the reason for that. Because they based on their thinking is really speculation. Mental speculation. Not on the realities, are based upon incomplete knowledge of the Supreme Self and are simply aimed at discerning material dualities. Although such arguments are useless, persons whose attention is diverted from me, their own true self, are unable to give them up. So Krishna is explaining that why they are not able to understand this thing, you know. So, the radical myth of the doctrine continues. The world is not real but an illusory appearance, vivarta. So, the word vivarta means illusion, right? Illusory perception of Brahman. This material world is a form of Brahman, but in illusory form. So, the analogy of mistaking rope for snake in semi-darkness, the snake is neither real nor unreal, what they are saying, okay? Let's try to understand here why they're saying both now. Real and unreal. Okay? Not real because when that semi-darkness situation is removed, you illuminate that with light, then you clearly see that rope, you know. Only in the semi-darkness that you perceive that as the snake, you know. So when it is illuminated, then you clearly, that illusion will go away, you know. One sees the rope alone, but not a snake. Not completely unreal either. Why? Because one actually does perceive a snake. Because he runs away, the fear. Where does the fear come? If something does not exist, the fear would not come there, right? So how is Jiva Goswami going to refute that? Very interestingly, really. So Jiva is becoming fearful. So that's what the Mayavadi explanation of that. Because when they were pointed out that this material world is unreal or it's just an illusion, how come we actually feel it? Even the snake, rope snake analogy, if the rope is illusion, why the person who is beholding that he comes under this fear, and he becomes, he flees from that scene, you know, even though it's just a rope, you know. So why should he fear that, you know? So now Jiva Goswami is going to explain that. Very, very interesting. I when I go through that, I really got fascinated by that. So the world is actually Brahman, but appears as the world out of ignorance of the pursuer. So Maya is saying is because of the ignorance of the beholder. Because he does not see the reality, he cannot differentiate, cannot distinguish between something that is real and something that is not real, you know. Rope versus snake, you know. So that's what they're explaining that. But here, now Jiva Goswami is how he's going to refute that by providing and explaining the same argument in a different light. So the imaginary object, first of all, he's saying the imaginary object cannot be superimposed. Just like I gave you that example. Unless the red rose is the reality, the prism cannot become reddish. You know, if you just imagine behind the prism there is a flower, red flower, and then you expect to see the prism as reddish, you cannot, because the red flower must be there in a real sense, you know. So one must have, so that's the first point. One must have a subconscious impression of a previously experienced factually existing project, object. So what Jiva Goswami, I'm going to explain this thing in my own words actually here. What he's saying actually, that how does one think rope is a snake? Because he must have some conception of a snake. He must have seen the snake somewhere in his mental frame that he knows, and that's why he imagines that rope as a snake. Otherwise it cannot be. You know, so like a baby, you know, if when babies actually see on the internet, you know, on YouTube, you'll see that when a baby, a snake comes, baby does not go run away in fear, because baby has never seen that point, what snake is like. So somebody who has seen the snake previously somewhere, then only he will imagine that rope as a snake, you know. So that's the first thing that one must have that. So you must have some kind of impression previously on your subconscious mind. So in the same way, the analogy of a mirage in the desert, you know. So unless one has experienced the real water, one cannot have the illusion of water in the mirage. So you understand how he's pointing out that? So in any superimposition or projection, and Sanskrit word called adhi aropa. Aropa means you are alleging someone. Arop means you are proving something, but someone is a guilty of some crime. Okay, so you're going to allege that he's committed some crime, but you must provide some proof. You cannot, somebody who is, if you just claim, you allege someone has committed crime, by just you saying it cannot be there. You have to show what he is committed, of what crime, you know, and exactly that he is the person he did that, you know. So that adhi aropa, you know, it's just a projection of your mental frame, you know. So both objects must be real. So Brahman must be real, of course it is there. And that superimposition, that also must be real, you know. So both rope and snake are real objects existing separately in different locations or times. So what Jiva Goswami is pointing out, that the beholder, his subconscious mind, he must have this form of a snake in his subconscious mind. So he interrelates that at that point, just like in a dream state. You know, dream state, what happens actually? In a dreams, we don't dream something that we have never come across. You know, we must have seen something that previously, either in this lifetime or previous lifetimes, you know, and that remains in subconscious mind actually. This mind, mind is what I told you, is a subtle element, you know, subtle body. So you must, you know, sometimes what happens if you see that, you see a stranger and suddenly you feel attracted to that person, right? You never seen or never met that person. And same way, sometimes you see a person you never met, never come across, and suddenly you become repelled by that person. You simply don't like that person, and you want to run away from that person, because you must have interacted with that person here somewhere in the previous domain, previous life, or somewhere like that. So here it is also like that, you know. But in a dream state, what happens? In a dream, different things, they interact, fuse, something one another. Sometimes, which is in a real life, it cannot happen that. But they interact, mix together, fuse together, and things we see like that, you know. Something unrelated that just simply is not possible to come in reality. But in dream state, we see that. So here, that's what is Jiva Goswami is explaining, that the snake and rope, which a person is then unable to distinguish between them. So superimposition is possible in a limited object that have parts. Brahman is all pervading and without any subdivisions, thus there is no possibility of superimposing anything upon it. Because Brahman does not have any kind of qualities that we already know. That's a very basic definition of Brahman. Brahman is does not have any characteristics like that, the potencies. Even the objects perceived in dream are not false. Now he's pointing out that sometimes we dream of something, different worlds. Like I dream, this is a very common thing. I dream all the time, actually, that I'm flying, you know. Now, in reality, of course, it's not possible, right? But maybe in the previous life, I might have been bird or something, or might have been pilot or something like that, you know. So that in dream, different things, different subconscious minds, different things, they come and interact with each other and then separate. So that is what you see in the dream, you know. So the object that you see in the dream is not false. You must have seen or come across somewhere in your life. But fusing together, that is what the dream state is all about. So dream objects are also the result of memory impressions in the chitta. Chitta means the consciousness, you know, and the mind, actually. To mistake the universe for Paramatma or Atma is an illusion. So that is what Jiva Goswami is pointing out. Now the fourth point he's making in this verse. Text, actually. So now he's going to show some different verse. This Paramatma is not Vivarta is the real import of Shastra. So now he's pointing out the Shastric foundation for what he's saying that, you know. And again, he quotes many verses, but I'm just pointing out this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. This is a key verse, actually. In describing the principles of creation, Maitreya Muni is now speaking this verse to Vidur Mahatma, the modification of this Pradhana by Paramatma's Maya potency, by Paramatma's this Mahatattva. Pradhana becomes Mahatattva, you know. So, Kalavitya tu Mayayam. Kalavitya tu mayayam gunam mayam adhokshaja purushena atma bhutena purushena by purush by the you know supreme person atma bhutena viram adhatta. So supreme person virya, the simon, there is the living entities, adhatta viryavan, viryavan, one who possesses that, tato abhavan mahat tattvam avyaktat. Mahatattva, that's actually Pradhana, when the three modes of material nature become activated. So that is Mahatattva. Mahatattva avyaktat, that unmanifest. Kala choditat, Vignana Atma Atma Dehastam. Vignana Atma Atma Dehastam, Vishvam Vyanjas Tamo Nudaham. Okay? So here's the translation. When the equilibrium of the three modes of material nature that constitute the Maya potency was displaced by the force of time, so that means time, Paramatma's time potency activates and de-equilibrate the three modes. So now they become active now. So that Pradhana now becomes Mahatattva. So the transient Bhagavan So transcendent Bhagavan, who is beyond the senses and endowed with his own intrinsic potency, Viryavan, placed his seed. So here in a poetic way, that the Supreme Lord Paramatma here impregnates the material, the womb of material nature. So that's the semen he puts, but that semen here is actually the the living entity. So he injects us through his semen, you know. So the jivas, Virya semen, the jivas, the conscious parts, into that Maya through the Purusha, that is Paramatma, who is his own self-expansion. Thereafter, the Mahatattva evolves so that Pradhana becomes, so three modes of materiality becomes activated and becomes becomes Mahatattva. So it is being impelled by this time potency. So being of the nature of awareness, it dispels the darkness of ignorance even while manifesting the universe situated within itself in the seed form. So that the Brahma under is the egg. So this material universe is in the egg shape actually, okay? It is not yet activated. So this is Brahmanda. There is no mention of Vivarta in this description. Clearly you can see everything is a reality. So this the formation of this anda, Brahmanda, is indeed a reality. Text 59, Parinama as an aspect of jnana. So now, of course, he's going the same thing. Why this is explained that way is for the jnanis actually, so that they can become detached from this material world, knowing this material world is not a reality, you know, it's an illusion. But in fact, what Vaishnava philosophy is saying that it is a reality, but one should not be attached because it is temporary of nature. So instead, Uddhava, Krishna describes. Instead, recites the knowledge, the dialogue that took place long time ago between Dattatreya and King Yadu, which is an instruction on jnana. Okay. So Jiva Goswami quotes just a portion of that. In fact, that runs into the dialogue runs into two chapters, three chapters, to 7, 8, and 9 in the 11th canto. So he's quoting these particular verses from 9th chapter, text 16 through 21. Actually, you know. And just a portion of it. So the end of the Kalpa, so one particular day of Brahma, you know, that one Bhagavan Narayana, the supreme controller, existing alone by himself, without a second, as the shelter of all, and the foundation of individual self. So he's basically describing this the supreme Lord actually here, okay? Dissolves this previously created universe. So this is at the time of dissolution. So all the gross turn into subtle forms, and they merge and come into the body of Mahavishnu, that is Paramatma. You know. And so previously created universe through his own Maya now gets dissolved in him by the latter's instrumental power in the form of time. So Paramatma's time potency. When all the energies in the form of the three modes are brought into the balanced state, that means again come into the equilibrium state. When it's activated, it becomes de-equilibrated. By the Lord's own power of time, the primeval Purusha, who is the ruler of both phenomenality, that is Pradhana, and the individual. Conscious beings, Purusha, who is the supreme goal of both greater and lesser beings, and thus identifies as the supreme transcendence, continues to exist. He is the totality of unaltered self-illumination and bliss, devoid of any material designation. O subdue of enemies, precipitating his Maya potency consisting of the three modes by means of his unique personal power in the form of time. So it's all Lord's time potency does everything actually, no? Material manifestation. So he first evolves Sutra, the first modification of the Prakriti, predominated by the Rajas, that's the mode of passion, that's the one for the creation. Creation comes from the mode of passion through her, Maya. So this sutra is called the manifestation of the three modes. which generates the universe of the divorce forms, through which it runs like a thread, and by which the living entities rotate in the cycle of birth and death. Just as the spider manifesting a web from its heart through the mouth, so you see how the spider creates the web, you know, through its saliva, right? And surround itself, and at the end, it's withdrawn back, you know. Sports with it, and then swallows it. The saliva back, it swallows. So also the Lord, so he creates, manifests for some time, and then dissolves back within himself. He withdraws this material universe. Okay, the final text now, called Satkaryavada. What's Satkaryavada? Simplest term. That is the cause and effect, actually. The effect is part and parcel, inherent part and parcel of the cause. You cannot differentiate between cause and effect, okay, in that regard. And yet, the effect cannot be necessarily same as cause. Cause is the one that generates effect, right? So that way, same and different. So that is what Satkaryavada is all about, you know. Satkaryavada is the principle that the effect is part of it, and thus non-different from its cause. However, this does not mean that the effect is exactly the same as the cause. Analogy is it's a nice analogy, actually. My grandson, who is in kindergarten now, in his art class, he talks a lot about it. So teacher gives him a little clay, actually, and asks him from this clay to make different kind of images, you know, different kind of forms, you know, whatever he likes, actually. So what the analogy is here, that the different kinds of objects that you create from clay, they are all made of the clay. So in that way, it's not regard same as the clay. So clay is the original thing. The forms that you create from the clay is the effect of that clay, right? But so they are one and the same. Ultimately, they are all clay. So the effect is part of the clay, but it's still not different. So that's what this nice knowledge is given. The created clay object is different in the name only. Only the clay is the reality. So here is the words. Idam hi Vishwam Bhagwan Ivetaro. Idam hi Vishwam Bhagwan Ivetaro. Yata Jagat Sthana Nirodha Sambhava. Sambhava means it comes into existence. Okay, the Jagat Sthana Nirodha. That means the creation, maintenance for some times, and then dissolution of this Jagat, the material world. Taddhi Swayam Veda Bhavams Tathapi Vai Pradesh Matram Bhavat Pradarshitam. So he tells Krishna, this is a verse spoken by Narad Muni to Srila Vyasadeva in the first canto, when he's explaining that. So he's saying that, O Narad, you are the expansion of the Lord Narayana. You're the expansion of Lord Narayana. So you know all this thing, okay? I'm simply pointing out to you, you know, that this Vishwam, this material world, is non-different from Bhagavan, from whom its sustenance, dissolution, and creation came about. Yet, he is distinct. That is different from the universe. Alternately, the Jiva who is distinct from the universe is also non-different from Bhagavan. It's an alternative explanation. So, you yourself surely know this thing, but I have nevertheless pointed out to you in some small measure. So here, Narada Muni, in his modesty, is pointing that you already know it. I'm simply reawakening that knowledge within you, that you already know Bhagavan Narayana, from whom this material world came to existence. So he creates that, he maintains for some time, and then withdraws it back within himself, you know. So material world is part coming from the Lord, and yet Lord is not the same as material world, you know. So they are same and different in both ways, you know. Similarly, living entities, you know, they are within the material world, but yet distinct from material world, that they are part and parcel of the Supreme. So this is the summary slide, final slide now. Paramatma, so whatever we discuss, all this thing is right here putting together. Paramatma is a conscious being intrinsically endowed with diverse potency. That means all these different potency, internal potency, external potency, and marginal potency. Living entity is marginal potency. Maya is external potency. So they are all part and parcel of Paramatma. The fountainhead of the material universe. He is the fountain. He is the Adhara. We heard the word, Sanskrit word Adhara. He is the fountainhead. He is the foundation of this material world. And plus the jivas within it. Both the nimitta cause by himself and upadana cause through his maya potency of the process of manifestation, unmanifestation, demanifestation, you know, creation and dissolution. So when it's when it's an unmanifest state, this universe, what happens? So it remains in the subtle form as pradhana or prakriti, there is material nature. The three modes are remain in equilibrium. There's an unmanifested form, in the dormant form of the universe. So jivas there within without either gross or subtle bodies, okay. And same with their karmas also in the dormant form. You know? And what about Paramatma? Paramatma endowed with subtle, inert, and conscious energies. But when it becomes manifest, material universe becomes manifest, then of course Paramatma, the pradhana, gets activated by Paramatma's time potency and injecting jivas within it. And he also comes within himself in that. So then pradhana becomes mahatattva. And mahatattva becomes false ego. False ego becomes expressed in the three modes of material nature and so on like that. On and on and on. The 11 senses and all so on like that. You know. Ultimately, these five gross elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, and so on like that. You know. So then jiva, the living entities, acquire both the gross and subtle bodies. So that is the manifested universe. Manifested universe. And Paramatma, he's endowed with gross, inert, and conscious energies. So Paramatma is there with both his inert, both his energies. His inert energy is Prakriti, material nature. And his conscious energy is the living entities. So that concludes. So now, in the next week onwards, we will go in much greater detail about this. Two philosophies, much deeper, much expanded form, and how Jiva Goswami is going to refute point by point. Mayavadis gives lots of different kinds of analogies actually, so many different kinds of analogies. In each analogy, he takes apart Jiva Goswami and proves them wrong actually. You know? So I'll stop here and see if there are any comments or something. Okay. Hare Krishna. Let me see. Very good present, first of all. 14 of you are attending. That's very good. I'm very, very elated by that. Atul Prabhu is asking here, some audio and sometimes back, I'm not sure what he's saying. I'm not sure what Atul Prabhu is saying here. Okay, Sanjeev Prabhu is asking, hey Prabhuji, what is meaning of sutra? I thought it means a verse. Yes, yeah, sutra means verse, but here it's also sutra. Here he's talking about how this pradhana becomes activated, mahatattva and so on like that. In that regard, he's talking about sutra actually. Mahatattva is the knowledge gathering this thing actually basically. Lalita Mataji, according to Bhagavad Gita, the living entity carries the subtle bodies, mind, ego and intelligence every lifetime. So how to understand when it is said in Paramatma Sandarbha that Upadana provides the subtle and gross bodies? So then where does the subtle bodies of each individual lies? Very good question actually, no? The subtle body, the mano buddhi ahankar, that carries from one body to another body actually. So the material nature is there. Upadana is a part of material nature. So in this lifetime or another lifetime, it's still going to be there. So in the when we drop this gross body, and then jiva transmigrates to another lifetime. So again, that time also, their material nature is going to provide, the upadana part of that material nature is going to provide him. So that is both gross and subtle body. So subtle body is there. So he's going to get a gross body in that, you know. But it's part of material nature. It's this lifetime or another lifetime, you know. Material nature isn't eternal. Material world is temporary. Don't forget this reality. Material nature is eternal. Material world is temporary. Slide 6. Virat Purusha is aggregate of the material universe, but it's also imaginary. Hence, it should not be given importance. What is the difference between Pradhana and the Mahatattva? I just told you. Good question, Sarat Prabhu. The difference between Pradhana and Mahatattva, Pradhana, the three modes of material nature are in equilibrium state. Okay, so they are not active, they are in dormant stage. It's the Lord's Paramatma's time potency that activates that, that de-equilibrate the three modes. So all the three modes now become flux, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamoguna. So that then becomes Mahatattva, you know. So that is the beginning of Mahatattva, and then goes on all the further transformations. So that is what he's saying that, you know. Yeah, somebody speaking? Yes. Yeah. Hello? Hello, I can barely hear you. Hello, can you speak again, please? Are you born? Oh, I see. So it's public chat. Okay. I'm sorry, it does not expand. But I can read it, you know, don't worry about it. So Lalita Mataji says, so does that mean that when dissolution happens, then we jivas merge into the Virat Purusha along with our subtle bodies, or does it get manifested only when Prakriti is impregnated? Now what happens actually when dissolution takes place, entire material nature and the jivas, all they go as a dormant state within the Paramatma, you know. So only during the next cycle of creation that manifests again, you know. Again, I'm going to try to read your question here. So does that mean that when dissolution happens, then we jivas merge into the Virat Purusha along with us? At that time, Virat Purusha is not there.
Virata Purusha comes into existence during creation. Remember, he said that here we heard explanation here that Virata Purusha comes manifest when this Brahmanda, this egg-shaped universe takes place there. The egg is coming to existence. Then the Virata Purusha is there actually. The material manifest. The whole andam is Hiranyagarbha, and the gross form is this Virata Rupa, Virata form actually. So the aggregate of all the jivas and the aggregate of all the material, different planetary system and so on like that. So to my understanding, Virata Rupa or the under that is only existence during the creation. But when the dissolution takes place, everything goes into subtle form. So there is no gross form anymore now. Everything from gross to subtle, that's during dissolution. During creation, from subtle to gross. So everything gross becomes subtle and then goes back into the body of Mahavishnu. And that is Paramatma. So Mahat Tattva and Prakriti are same, that Sarat Prabhu is asking. No, again, they are same in the sense that different transformation. Mahat Tattva is the transformation of Pradhana, modification of Pradhana. The activation of that. Something that is dormant and something that is activated. That's the only difference. Thank you, Mataji. Sanjeev Prasad, I think Lalita Mataji is saying would have meant that we go into the body of Mahavishnu. Do we go into our subtle bodies? Both subtle and gross bodies, at that time when we go in the body of Mahavishnu, there is no time when a subtle body is also not there. Subtle body takes place when, remember I told you in that last week's that review slide that I showed you, subtle body formation takes place when the time potency triggers that set of reaction. Then the karmas becomes activated. Karmas leads to this destiny, okay, and destiny leads to Swabhava. These are the ones which are from that subtle body is going to take place, and that is going to the cause, nimitta of the Maya, Prakriti. So that way it's different. So in the dissolution, there is not even a subtle body. Thank you, Sanjeev Prabhu. Okay. Thank you. So I hope it's clear. So we'll continue. So remember, that's what I keep emphasizing you, all of you. Please do continually, regularly attend these classes, because these are very, very difficult concepts to understand that. I had to read repeatedly so many times, to understand that. If you miss few classes, then the next class when you attend, you are not going to understand that. Slowly, slowly, gradually, you will lose interest, And then, potentially you are going to drop out. That's why I don't want that. So please try to attend regularly, because these are very, very difficult topics to understand. Deep philosophy is involved here, actually. The next series of classes is going to be just nothing but philosophy, okay? And I'm trying to make myself as easy, trying to make this as simple as possible, but at the risk of making oversimplification. So we have to, I had to draw a very balance there, simplify, but not oversimplify. I see you have recorded the class. Yes, I've been recording for the past several weeks, actually. Except last week class I missed, actually. So I will send you that, Sanjeev Prabhu, and CC to Tulsi Charan Prabhu. And then you can upload those, I'm hoping that these recordings, because there is no involvement of internet here, so it's going to be much more crispier, much more clearer, I hope, So I'll upload where I upload my PowerPoints. Okay, Prabhu? Oh, you want just this week's class only? Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, class will upload depending upon particular week. Okay, all right, Pooji. Thank you. Thank you, Mataji, Lalita Mataji. Thank you so much. Okay, so if there are no further questions, I'm going to request Dishana to conclude the class. Hare Krishna, Dishana. You may take over now.